Okay, good morning. Good morning. Today we're learning Perek Chavav, the 26th chapter of the Gvuras Hashem. This 26th chapter of the Gvuras Hashem, excuse me for one moment. deals with a specific part and a part of note of Moshe Rabbeinu's mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him as he's sending him to the Jewish people. And after the discussion about the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we talked about last week's Perek Chafei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, after again this is, it ends, says Deshmi Mezikul Lardor, that's the end of the fourth Aliyah. And then it says, go and assemble the Ziknei Yisrael, the elders of the Jewish people, and say to them, Hashem, the God of your fathers, appear to me, the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to say, Pokoid pokadati eschem, remember, I have remembered you, or I have surely remembered you, as the English translations often like to say, v'se'asui lachem b'mitzrayim, and that which was done to you in Mitzrayim. And I said, therefore, I will take you out from the pain, the difficulty of Mitzrayim, to the land of da-da-da-da-da-dat, v'shamu l'kailacha, and they will listen to your voice. And then you will come with the elders to the king of Mitzrayim. So Rashi says, mikivan shetoymer lamloshein ze yishmu l'kailacha. When you say, pokoyit pokadati eschem, you say that expression, remember, I have remembered you, they will listen to you. Shekvar simen ze moser biyodah miyakivu miyosef. This sign has already been given over to them from Yaakov and from Yosef, Shebloshen Zehim Nigolim, that in this language they will be redeemed. Why? Because in the end of Bereishis, right, it says, Velekim Pakoid Yifkoid Eschem, right, in Parshas Vayechi, it says, I'm going to die, and God will surely remember you, and will take you up from this land to the land that I promised, that He promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then Yosef made his brother swear, Hashem will surely remember you, and you shall bring out my bones from there. Right. So that's what Rashi refers to enigmatically, and we're not going to discuss this here. That Rashi says that. He said it, both Yaakov said it and Yosef said it, whereas both psukim that we have about Pokoid Yifkoid actually come from Yosef, neither of them come from Yaakov. So it's a problem. Now, so we're not going to dwell on it at length, but the Ramban suggests that perhaps what Rashi means is that that since Yosef said it twice, it must be that he was trying to give over, that he had received it, and now he was passing it on. But whatever it is, there's this suggestion that the language of Pokoid Yifkoid, which Yosef said, Hashem will surely remember, served as a signal that when the leader would come, who would take them out of Mitzrayim, he would reveal to them himself to them by saying that Hashem said, Pokoid Pokadati Eschem, code words, this expression, remember, He has surely remembered you. That is what Chazal say, and it is this that the Maral is going to be discussing in this perek. It's this idea of what is the significance of this expression of Pokoid Pokadati Eschem. Why is that the expression of Geula? And the Maral is going to go through it in steps, as he often does, steps of explanation, and we will Mirtz Hashem see. Yes.
Code word that was only secretly known by leaders or by Al Kaisar?
Great question. So the Ramban asks, V'yesh alecha lishol uminay lem shiaminu shema shema meisha b'mesayres hazais. Based on what should they believe? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu heard this thing. Yosef had given a Messiah. He told his brothers. It was not evidently a secret. And they knew that this was going to be the thing. Maybe Yosef knew about it as well. V'yesh loimar, answers the maybe Moshe knew about it as well, so you know he's a charlatan and he comes and he says there's a code word, I know the code, and I'll come and I'll say the code and I'll be able to hoodwink them. He says that's what they heard from Yosef, who had heard from his father, who was a Navi, that this is what's going to be. The first person who comes and uses that language is going to be the Redeemer. Hashem knows nobody's going to come and lie. He promised them. So in other words, a person could go and say, oh, I heard this thing and I'm going to give the code. But part of the prophecy was that that wouldn't happen. Part of the prophecy was that the one who would come and say this would be the real Redeemer. That's what the Ramban says, suggests as his own pshat. The Maral in the Gur Aryeh, over here in Parsha Shmois, where, by the way, in that piece in the Gur Aryeh, he repeats or writes much of what is written here in the Guras Hashem in this perek, as was the case with last week's perek as well. The Maral doesn't like this pshat of the Ramban, because he says, what about Bechira? What about free choice? So, and yet the Rambam Maral is still going to say some element of lack of bechira, which you have to distinguish from this Ramban. But this is what the Ramban himself says, but then he brings a medrash that Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina says, Ben Shtei Mesrei Nitlash Moshe Mibeis Aviv, when Moshe Rabbeinu was 12, he was separated from his father's house. In other words, he had to leave Mitzrayim. She lugadol beisavu vava arna mamaisim loyah amayim roshem of masmel fishes masel levi. The Medrash says that part of Moshe Rabbeinu growing up outside of the Jewish people was in order to validate this expression, because had he been part of the Jewish people and he would have said this, people would have said, ah, everybody knows that. But because Moshe Rabbeinu was not part of the Jewish people and he had come back and used this term, so therefore he knew that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have it with a Messiah. He must have gotten it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's the idea. Okay, so Ramban also writes, maybe there was an instruction that it should be something of a site, something of a secret. There's a famous Chazal that they went to Serach Bas Osher, right, who was an old woman who was left over from there, and she was the one who knew that this was the proper terminology. So there are reasons to think that it wasn't such a widespread tradition. The Maral himself, without going in order of what the Maral writes about in this perek, the Maral himself addresses this question. As I told you, he wasn't so happy, at least with the Ramban's initial response. And what he sees himself as doing is explaining the Medrash, giving a little bit more strength to the Medrash which the Ramban quoted. Again, what's the question? Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says the magic words, Pokoid Pokadati. So they'll believe him, because they had a tradition that whoever says that will be the Redeemer. But if they had a tradition and was well known, then why should they take anybody seriously who says that? Because they know that's what they're supposed to say in order to deliver the goods. So the Maral himself says that yes, what the Medrash says is certainly correct, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not grow up in the Jewish people, so therefore he wouldn't necessarily have known it. Now he may have known it. It may be something which he was told in bedtime stories during his earliest childhood, or he may have picked it up some point along the way when he had his brief moments of connection with the Jewish people. However, says the Maral, Moshe Rabbeinu did not need this v'shamu l'kailecha. V'shamu l'kailecha here doesn't necessarily mean that because of this and this alone, they'll just buy everything that you have to say. Mm-hmm. Because as you see, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to ask, v'hein le'aminu li, they won't believe me. So he says, all it will do, all HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying is that it will get their attention. Because, again, if it was somebody who learned about this in Cheder, so then it wouldn't even get their attention. They would say, you know, you're just trying to pull the wool over our eyes. Who says? But because it was Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was something of an outsider to Jewish life and Jewish tradition, so therefore they would say, would be enough for Moshe Rabbeinu to then perform the signs that would get them, that would be kind of them. So that's what the Maral suggests. It was just a beginning. He also goes on to suggest that another possibility is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'shamu kailecha," it's that I'm telling you, yes, this is the code. But they won't listen to you, b'derech hateva, because they say, wow, he said pokei pokadati, so therefore he must be the one. Because as we've said, there are all kinds of questions on that. Maybe he was somehow made privy to this secret. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, when you say it, they will listen to your voice. I'm telling you, they will listen to your voice. You know, that's a little different than the Ramban. The Ramban also said that there was haftacha. But the Ramban said the haftacha was that nobody's going to say pokot pokadati until you. Wow, that's taking away bechira from millions of people. However, here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just saying, Moshe Rabbeinu, when you come, I'm telling you, they're going to listen to you. You're the Shliach Hashem, they will listen to you, and they will respond in Kamala. Yes.
The Torah say itself, they'll bring the other Matan Torah, or no, that kind of event, like it was Matan Torah.
I'm sorry again, I don't understand. What was
the Torah itself says that there'll be no other event like giving
right.
the Torah.
Right.
Ever again. Or
it says, okay.
Also lack of the hero there soon.
Again, so what?
Can you also say that that's also kind of a lack of the hero? Never happened.
Well, that takes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do. So Hashem says, I'm never going to do something like that again. Right? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there'll be a makkah on Mitzrayim. There'll be screaming in Mitzrayim that there never was before and there never will be again. It's because Hashem precipitates that. So he says it won't happen. But over here, where it's the choice of people, you know, that's a different story. Here it's whether they'll believe that, whether they'll say it. So it's a little bit harder. Okay. But now let's try to get down to, okay, so this is the language of Geula. And Moshe Rabbeinu cannot misuse it, however we're going to understand. But why is this the language of Geula? Why is Pokod Pokadati? Why is that the language of Geula? And the Ramban, the Maral, excuse me, is going to explain this on three levels. One, the usage of the term Pokad. Two, the spelling of the word Pokad. And three, he'll introduce us to a fascinating chazal about pokadati as part of a series, the Menatzpach series. Okay, so let's try to do it one by one. The first thing the Maral says is as follows. He quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says, pokai pokadati, what's the double expression, pokai pokadati? Pokad b'mitzrayim, pokadati alayam. I will remember you in Mitzrayim and again at the sea. Pokad lahaba, I will remember you in the future. Pokadati l'sha'avar, I will remember you in the past. Maral goes on and brings another chazal, a medrash in Sefer Shmuel, where it says pekida b'shamayim, and it brings a pasuk to speak about pekida in the heavens and pekida ba'aretz, as it says pokadat aretz v'tzeikah, pekida for negative things, pokadati asher asa amalek, pekida for peace. And so on. It brings a whole slew of contexts in which the term pekida is used. And where the Maral understands what these midrashim are saying is that pekida is versatile. Pekida touches everything. Pekida is something which is a term for that which can differentiate for good, for bad, for forward, for backward, for future, for past, for heaven, for earth, for peace, for war, for in here, in there, everywhere. What's the significance of that? So the significance of that is on the first level, that we know that part of what was supposed to be demonstrated at Yetzias Mitzrayim was the all-encompassing power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we would call, again, I think in our time perhaps, in a certain sense, the versatility. Let's think about what it's going to say in this week's Parsha and in next week's Parsha. This week's Parsha's Parsha is B'shalach. At Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jewish people will say, Mi chamecha ba'elim Hashem, mi chamecha neder ba'kodesh. Who is like you amongst the mighty Hashem? Who is like you glorified in His holiness? Right? That's what the Pasuk is going to say. What's the expression of Micha Meicha Be'el Hashem? Why is it so awesome and so awe-inspiring? Nothing's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is that the expression Micha Meicha Be'elim Hashem is repeated, although not as poetically, in next week's parsha by Yisrael, who says, Ata yodati ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'elokim. Now I know that Hashem is greater than all the gods. And there he explains. He says, Ki badavar asher zodu aleihem. Because in the manner in which they try to do things maliciously towards the Jewish people, that is what came back to them. That's what came back to them. Rashi says, B'yam dibmu la'abdam v'heim nebdu b'mayim. They tried to destroy the Jewish people with water, and they were destroyed by the water. What's the significance of that? Why specifically is water the thing? So the way this is understood is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't miss a trick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has every vehicle at his disposal in order to be able to bring the consequences and the punishments to Mitzrayim. If this is what they tried to do, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to give back. Yisrael served all the Avodah Zarah that were there in the world, right? Everybody knows, right? That was Yisrael. He went and he tried every Avodah Zarah in the world. Trying every Avodah Zarah in the world is going and looking at every koach, at every distinct force that exists within the world, and trying to see it. But you know the midrashic stories about that. This one wanted to worship the wind, right? But the mountain stops the wind, and the fire stops the wind stops the fire, and they're all the different forces. They're all at tension with one another. Go you and try to figure out which is the greatest, the strongest of those forces. There is no strongest of those forces. Each one has its area of strength, its moment, its place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem we refer to as Elohim. It's an amazing thing, because our primary declaration of faith is that Hashem is one, but yet the name which we know Hashem by when he creates the world is the name Elohim, which is in the plural. Elohim is plural. And in fact, as Rashi points out in Chumash, there are times where it even is associated with a plural verb. It's not just, okay, it happens to end with a Yud Mem. Sometimes the verbs that are associated with the actions of Elohim are expressed in the plural. Are expressed in the plural. So what is it? What's Elohim? So Chazal explained, Rashi says, Elohim is Baal HaKoyches Kulam. Everything else, all those other forces are Eloka in the singular. But here, they're Elohim in the plural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of all of these forces. Any distinct, discrete force could be trumped. So what we're showing here in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and in the versatility of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when you study the Makos, Tetzach, Adash, Be'achav, so there are all these explanations of every sphere, right? The tzach was the stuff which was down here on the earth and in the water, and adash is already in the airspace, and be'achav is in the heavens. In every sphere, HaKadosh Baruch Hu functions. In every sphere, Hashem is able to overcome and able to respond. Pokoid pokadati is a term with that kind of versatility. Everything is included. You find pokoid for this and pokoid for that. And the double expression, says the Maral, is to express that versatility. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming, he's coming to Mitzrayim, which has a power and a strength of its own, and objects that it worships of its own. But Pokoid Pokadati says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to respond and able to address everyone, every aspect, every realm of this. Of this difficulty, of this which is there amongst the which is out there in the world. And that's what's going to be shown here in Mitzrayim. So that's the term of Geula, because Hashem has to show himself as the master of the universe. There's not just a goal here of, I got to get the Jewish people out of there. What's happening in the Geulas Mitzrayim is Hashem demonstrating his power, which is able to diversify and hit everything. To go a step a little bit deeper, well, I want to like to cite the second aspect that the Maharal says in this, which he views as secondary. But he says there's pekida l'tayva and pekida l'ra. There's pekida for good and pekida for bad. And Yitzias Mitzrayim has a duality to it. What's the duality? The duality is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing the Egyptians and saving the Jews. He's doing to both at the same time. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is motzi asirim, took out the prisoners bakoy shoreis. What does bakoy shoreis mean? The Gemara has different pshatim. One of the pshatim which it has is bechi v'shirais. There was crying and there was song at the same time. At Kriyas Yamsuf, the Egyptians were crying, the Jews were singing. We read in yesterday's parsha that at Makas Bechoros there was screaming on the part of Egyptians that was unprecedented and never to be followed. And we say Hashir, the song of Leil Hizkadish Chag, the song that the Jewish people sang that night at the same time was tremendous. The whole, if you study the Shiras Hayam in this week's parsha, right, which is a big study in the fourth Aliyah of this week's parsha, is duality. Duality. You see, half of the Shira is about the downfall of the Egyptians and half is about the upswing of the Jews. In fact, the Micha Mecha divides it in those two parts. The nature of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was so targeted. Pakaid Pakadati. We are used to things happening in the world with a broad sweep. Something comes to the world and swallows up the good and the evil together. That's just the way it is. If it rains, it rains for everybody. If it floods, it floods for everybody. Plagues are seemingly indiscriminate. Right? Sodom and Amorah, what happens? You're going to destroy the righteous along with the wicked. That's the assumption. In Mitzrayim, the whole nature of Makos Mitzrayim was that in every Makkah, there was distinction between the Egyptians and the Jews. Right? The Medrash says the Egyptian and the Jew drank from the same cup. For this one it was water, for this one it was blood. Pokoid pokadati.
What about the Chamushim where you had 80% died? If they indeed died?
That was a targeted also.
Yeah, but it was the Yidden got the
so the Yidden were crying.
No, they had there was, can you imagine, 80%, there's nobody not touched. If indeed they died, I think it's more metaphoric that they assimilated.
I mean, I don't know that that's a kash on this. It's again, it's those were those who were disassociating from the Jewish people, so therefore they were going to be subject to, you know, to other things. They weren't subject to all of the makos. It was in fact hidden because people wouldn't necessarily understand the association. But this is the core idea which the Maharal is expressing over here. And again, it has two sides. Both the breadth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sweep is pokoid pokadati, and the detail and the targeted nature of it, that it's not just an andrulumisa, right? That everyone struggles, what's pshat? We read in the Parsha Yesei, Memakas Bechayres, Hashem had to have something there to stop the mashchis from coming to the houses. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was the one who brought Makas Bechoros. So Ramban explains, others explain, well, once this was happening, so other forces could also come. But those forces wouldn't distinguish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguishes between one and the other. And the nature of the Geula was distinction, to separate the good from the bad. What's the name of the Yom Tov? The name of the Yom Tov carries that. The name of the Yom Tov is Pesach. What's Pesach? Pesach is Hashem skipped over the houses of the Jews as he afflicted the houses of the Egyptians. To show there's destruction, salvation, particular, not everything is included. The nature of it is how it is so specifically distinguished one from the other. That's the choice of this term. As the Maharal writes, Kol davar shu echad v'kelel harbe madregasa yoyser gadol at shu mala gedayla kelel asakel. He says this is the great Maila, that it's one thing that includes so many. That's the first Nakuda, the first basic point of the Maral in explaining the term Pekida. The second point of the Maral in explaining the term Pekida uses the word Pokad. And I'd like to explain it to you by showing it to you. The word Pokad has three letters. Pei, Kuf, Dalet. Whoopee. What I'm doing is I'm writing out the letter fully, the way the letter is spelled. Pei, Aleph. Not Pei, Hei, interestingly. This is the way it's done. Some would have Pei. But Pei. Pei, Aleph, Kuf, Kuf, Vav, Fei, Dalet, Dalet, Lamet, Tuf. That's the way the letter is spelled fully. In a level of drusha, of the way the Torah is interpreted, so, you know, like, you know, you're familiar with something called gematria, where you figure the numerical values of the letters and so on and so forth. These are all layers of meaning. So, in a certain way, we speak about that there's the nigla and the nistar. That there's the visible and the invisible part of the letter. Pei, the visible part of the letter, is the pei. Right? The invisible is the aleph. Kuf. The visible is the kuf, that's the letter itself, and this is the invisible part of the letter, the nistar. That's what it's known as. So let's look at it, and we're going to start from the bottom. The nistar of Dalet is lametuf. What's lametuf? 430. What's the significance of the number 430? Well, in yesterday's parsha we read that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim after 430 years. Now, whatever that means, it was supposed to be 400 years, so 430 years from the time when Hashem spoke to Avram, whatever it is, it says they left Mitzrayim after 430 years of exile. Peivav is the Nistar of Kuf. What's Peivav? 86. What's the significance of 86? Nope. Moshe Rabbeinu was 80. But you're close. Who was 86? No. Miriam was 130 when she gave birth to Maisha. She was 210 if she was still alive when they left Mitzrayim. Miriam was 86. Aaron was 3 years older than Moshe. Miriam was 6 years older than Moshe. Miriam was 86 years old. Why was her name Miriam? She was 86 years old when they left Mitzrayim. Why was her name Miriam? Miriam is a term for bitterness, like moror, because the tradition is that when Miriam was born was simultaneous when Vayimor was Chayim, when the time in Egypt went from being a golos, an exile, to a shibud, to a bondage. The bondage started 86 years before the Jews left Mitzrayim. So there were 430 years of exile, there were 86 years of bondage amongst those years, and what's the one? Says the Maral, there was one last year. The last year was the worst year. I mean, until the Makos started relieving the pressure. But the last year was the worst year. The last year was when the king of Mitzrayim died, and a new king arose, and the Bnei Yisrael groaned. And remember, what did we learn? What did Chazal say? Oh, this guy was sadistic. He was worse. He would shech Jewish babies and bathe in their blood. There was a level of despair that the Jewish people reached through the intensity of the shibud of the last year that was beyond everything else that made Hashem respond to their cries at that particular time. Says the Maral, that's why the term pokad was the term for geula. Because all of these things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them an open remembrance, a pekida nigla on what's done to them in Mitzrayim, and a pekida nelama, and the hidden is on every aspect of what was going on this exile, on the bondage, and on the intensity of what happened with these last ones. So that's a second significance of the term pokod, because of the nistar, the hidden, which is there in the letter. So that's number two, quick and straight, not much to debate. Pirkei Reb Eliezer is the third phase. The third phase, as I mentioned to you, is seeing Pei as part of a series of letters of Geula, of double letters of Geula. So let me just first tell you what the Medrash says. Actually, now first I'm going to just point out to you the outline of it, because then I think you'll appreciate the Medrash when I first read it to you more. In the Hebrew Aleph Beis, and those of you who may be learning Daf HaYomi, so this actually came up in the Daf HaYomi this past week. In the Hebrew Aleph Beis has 22 letters. Right? Aleph to Tes is 9, Yud to Tzadi is another 9, and then you have Kuf, Resh, Shin, Tuf, which is 4 more letters. 1 to 9, 10 to 90, 100, 200, 300, 400, and then the Aleph Beis stops. 22 letters. However, there are actually, one might say, 27 letters in the Jewish Aleph Beis. Why? Because Chaf has a final letter, the final Chaf, which looks different at the end of the word. Mem has a final letter, which looks different when the Mem is at the end of the word. Nun has a final letter. Nun looks different when it's at the end of the word. Pei has a final letter, which looks different at the end of the word. And Tzadi has a final letter that looks different at the end of the word. So there are 5 more letters besides the 22. Now, you have 1 to 9, 10 to 90. What would you expect? You'd expect to have 100 to 900. So in fact, there are those who will calculate gematria, recognizing the final letter as different than a middle letter. Usually we don't, but there are those who would, and they would see that Chaf is 500, and Mem is 600, and Nun is 700, and Pei is 800, and Tzadi is 900, when it's the final Tzadi, when it's the final Pei, when it's the final Mem, etc., and Nun. These are 5 extra letters of the Aleph Beis. 5 extra structures. Now they're not, again, completely different. This is a chaf, this is a mem, this is a nun, but it's a final nun, it's a little bit different. Okay, what's the significance? We know them by the acronym Menatzbach. Menatzbach. That's what it's on. No, it's not the order. The order is Kemanpatz. Okay, it's the reason why that term is chosen, it seems, is because the Gemara says Menatzbach Tzayfim Umrum. It was said by the Tzayfim, by the prophets, so that we put the Tzadi before the Fei and other stuff. But whatever, there's more to talk about. But listen now to this Medrash of the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Chamash Aisyais Nichpulu Kulan Lashen Geula. There are 5 letters that were doubled as the language of Geula. Kaf Chaf. There's a double chaf. Shenigal Avram Avinu Me'ur Kazdim. When Avram Avinu was redeemed from Ur Kazdim, as it says, Lech Lecha Me'ar Tzecha. Lecha Me'ar Tzecha. So it's like a double chaf. Actually triple if you count Lech Lecha Me'ar Tzecha. But the cha, as you know, as such, is double. Mem Mem was when how Yitzchak was redeemed from the land of the Plishtim, because they said Lech Me'imanu Ki atzamta mi menu ma'id. Lots of mems there in that verse when Yitzchak is told, leave because you have outgrown us. Nun was when Yaakov Avinu was redeemed miyad Esav, as it says, hatzileni na miyadachi miyad Esav. Pei, pei, the Jewish people were redeemed from Mitzrayim, as it says, pakoid pakadati. And tzadi, tzadi is what Hashem will redeem the Jewish people with in the future. As it says, Ish tzemach shmoi umitachtov yitzmach. So he says that's the thing. So it was all said to Avram. Avram gave it to Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave it to Yaakov. Yaakov gave it to Yosef and to his brothers. And that's why it says, Pakoid pakadati eschem. And Osher ben Yaakov gave the secret over to Serach bas Osher. And when Moshe Rabbeinu came and did the miracles, they went to Serach bas Osher, the elders of the Jewish people. They said, somebody did these signs. And she said to them, the signs don't mean anything. He said, Pakoid Pakadati Eschem. She said, oh, that means something. That's what it is. That's the tradition I have from my father. Vayamenu ki Pakad Hashem. So these 5 letters are doubled in the context of Geula at different times. Fascinating. It's the same five letters, which are doubled, so to speak, within the Aleph Beis. It's the same five letters that are doubled within the Aleph Beis. So what do you do about that? So explains the Maral as follows. Again, they're doubled in the Aleph Beis, they're doubled as the letters of Geula. Says the Maral, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the Aleph Beis. We know that. That's B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. Hashem created the world with the Aleph Beis. We have traditions about which letter did this. We say generally this world was created with a Hey, the world to come was created with a Yud. But in the Sefer Yetzira, in the Book of Creation, it describes much more detail how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these worlds. Says the Maral, Hashem made the world as it is with the letters of the Aleph Beis, and He made the worlds of Geula, which is transcending the material physical world, in with the five letters of Menatzbach. That's the message of this Medrash. You find the doubling of those letters, which implies the second face of those letters, when they appear at the end of the word or whatever. The doubling of those letters relates to this idea of them being the letters of Geula, the letters of redemption. Explains the Maral with more. The letters of Menatzbach, let's take a look, for example, here. Here's the letter Pei. The final Pei is a letter Pei, but what do? You take the bottom leg and you stretch it out. This is called, in the language of the Gemara, those who learned the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, they're called Pshutim. This is called Kafuf, bent. This is called Poshut, straight, because the bottom is straight. It's the same for the final chaf, right? What's the difference between a regular chaf and a final chaf? What's the difference between a regular nun and a final nun? Right? So we have the fe and the fe. And we have the tzadi and the tzadi. Right? These are all where you just take the bottom leg and you unfold it, and that's what you have. Okay, if I'd be more of an artist, I would be making dot, 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 and have it long. You have it, you stretch it out. That's the way it works. One of them that's not on this list is the mem. The mem is the exception. The mem goes from being like this to being like this. Right? This is called from pasuach, from open to sasum, to closed. Says the Maral, Pshutim? Ooh, that's a magic word. You know why? Pshitus, simplicity, is one of the Maral's favorite words. I would venture to say, never asked him, but I think it's one of the Maral's favorite words. Why? He refers to anything which is of the spiritual world as being Pashut. Pashut doesn't mean just, oh, it's Pashut, it's obvious, it's simple, right? That's why we say it sometimes. But simplicity is lack of complexity. Complexity is when you have a clock and it has 473 interlocking moving parts. That's not Pashut. That's not simple, right? If you have a stick with lines on it, that's your sundial, that's Pashut. Your sundial is not going to break. Its battery is not going to run out. Of course, because it's a sundial, who knows how it'll work, whether, you know, how effective it will be. It won't be as effective in terms of measuring time as this clock, as long as the clock is working. Right? Pshitus, simplicity. Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. What does it mean that Hashem is one? So one part of believing Hashem is one is that there aren't multiple forces that are out there in the world, but there's one source for all of their strength. But as the Rambam wrote at length, part of believing in the unity of Hashem is not just that there's not a committee, but that Hashem is internally absolutely unified. So whereas when you take a human being, here's my finger on my left hand, here's my finger on my right hand, here's my ear, here's my head and shoulders, knees and toes, every part of my body is separate from the rest. This is this part of the table, that's that part of the table. You can't divide Hashem into parts. Hashem is an echad pashut. Hashem is simple, straight. In the world of the spirit, there's pshitus. In the world of physicality, there's harkava. Right? That's the term. It's a term which precedes the Maral by generations. Harkava is complexity, combination. You take different things and you put them together. The neshama is pashut. The soul is simple in the sense of being a single, plain entity. Fantastic. Whereas the body is murkav. The body is complex, is, you know, all the different parts in this way put together. Pshitus versus harkava. That's the difference as it is defined.
You just said that the plural for Hashem is the complexity of all the parts together. That does not signify simplicity.
Absolutely correct. That's the irony of Elohim versus Echad. But it's the complexity of Hashem is that Hashem in his ultimate simplicity of Achdus is able to distinguish and touch everything. Since he in his simplicity is the source of all things, he's able to do all things. He is the source of the source of all the complexity is one simple core, one simple root. This pshitus, simplicity in the Maral, again, it's ubiquitous in the writings of the Maral, is that pshitus is where it's at. So you come to these letters, and these letters are called pshutim. He says pshutim, pshitus is also geula. Why? Because pshitus is when nothing is attached to you. Right? One who is meshubad, one who is enslaved, is bound to something else. He says anything where you have various ingredients, what do people say? You know, the cinnamon is overpowering, right? You know, like in a certain thing, it's overpowering the other flavors. There's always, so to speak, in a mix, there's always shibud. There's always bondage. One overcomes the other. One eclipses the others. When something just stands by itself, it's to itself, it's pure. The letters of Geula are the pshutim, are the simple ones, the ones, again, that we call them pshutim. The language of Chazal are the pshutim. These were the letters that grew Geula, that grew redemption amongst the Jewish people, starting with the redemption of Avram, with the letter Chaf, to the redemption of Yitzchak, with the letter Mem, to the redemption of Yaakov, with the letter Nun, to the redemption of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim, with the letter Pei.
What do you do with the Mem?
The Mem is not Pashut, the Mem is Sasum. Writes the Maral, V'chein ois ha-Sasum, ein Safek, there's no doubt, ki ha-Sasum hu yoyser Pashut. He says, when it's closed, it's more straightforward and simple than something which is open. I mean, just look at the difference between this mem and this mem. Right? The first mem is a combination of letters. Even Chazal say that it's a mem is a chaf and a vav. Whereas a mem that's a box is a mem that's a box. Says the Maral, that also has its own element of pshitus. And he says something which is susim, something which is closed, is impenetrable. Something which is open is penetrable. If it's penetrable, it's subject and vulnerable to others and to other things.
The simplicity overwhelms the complexity, overpowers.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay. That's correct.
Well, Elohim doesn't mean that Hashem is complex and complex. It doesn't mean he expresses himself.
That is the powers. That's correct. Exactly. It's Elohim is more of a description of the ramifications, the actions of Hashem, than the essence of Hashem.
It's interesting that all these things seem to work, even though Chazal, I assume the letters weren't exactly the same as on the page. Like they, didn't they write differently?
They weren't exactly, they didn't look exactly like the way you have them here in your type thing, but we still use Ksav Ashuris, and was, again, you have to know the transition from Ivrit Ashuris and the Luchas. It's a, that's a complicated suya that I'm not capable really even of discussing. Just as a note, as Maral himself says, Matzah itself is considered, Maral will, Mietz Hashem will get to it later in the thing, but matzah itself to him is pashut, right? The simplicity of matzah is greater than chametz, which has had a chance to ferment and to change and to be transformed in those ways. So that's the advantage of pshitus. And geula is always taking and lifting up above the world which is murkav, the world with its complexity, and bringing it to a higher and a greater place. The Maral just concludes this discussion by the following note, very typical note, which is, he says, in the place of these letters, as we said, is at the end of the Aleph base. So again, what he's done here in this piece, let's just review for consolidation of the information, is that the Chazal said, pointed out that Geula came through these letters. Through these letters, each of which has a doubling, even though, by the way, as Maral himself points out, it's not that each time they appeared they were there as a final letter, but these letters which have this possibility of pshitos, especially pokai pokadati, it's both at the beginning of the word, but it's the doubling of it because it has this higher level. Each is transcending the material world. Geula is to transcend the material world. The material world was created with the 22 letters. These five letters create the transcendence. And they're pshutim because they represent going back to the simplicity, the basics of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Geula, where each thing stands by itself and is able to do its thing. And he ends and he explains as follows, that the last letter of the Aleph Beis, the way we have it formally, is the letter Tuf. Tuf is 400. As we've learned several times, the number 400 is strongly associated with Golus, the 400 years of Golus Mitzrayim, the 400 men that Yaakov Avinu had to run their gauntlet in order to come back to Eretz Yisrael, the 400 silver pieces that Avram had to suspend to buy the first portion of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. 400 is like four, the four corners of the earth that we have to be gathered from. Everybody knows how four is just constantly invoked during the night of the Seder. Four is representing the material world, because the world, material world, is Arba Kanfesor, it's the four corners of the earth. Five represents Geula. Five represents not just the Dalid, which is the four, and the Dalit is an axis with the four, you know, the two poles of the two dimensions, but it has the Yud inside of it. Five is the letter of Geula. For example, as we've discussed in the Netzach Yisrael as well, and many different places. So he says, after the Tuf, which is 400, which is the biggest letter of the Aleph Beis that creates the physical world, following that in sequence come the letters of Geula, come the letters of redemption. Because redemption follows after and above the four. That's the Maral's idea of here of Menatzbach.
Five letters.
Five letters, that's correct. And he says that there are five letters of Geula that are related. I'm sorry, I didn't mention that. Yes, that's exactly what he says. That these are the five letters, he says. Yeah. That's why there are five such letters, because then the five is Geula, which comes after the Dalit, you know, the Tuf. Well, that's the idea which the Maral expresses. So that's the Menatzbach, and that's where Pei is the second to last. Pei is Pokei Pokarati, the Geula from Mitzrayim. And the next, the tzadi, will be from the gula, from the Malchus HaRavius. from the ultimate golus, which we are experiencing right now, that will be redeemed, revealed by Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach, which is paraphrasing the pasuk which Chazal bring, where it says Ish Tzemach Shmoy Mitachtov Yitzmach. When we say that bracha, which is praying for David HaMelech and for Mashiach, we even have it as a bracha of Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach. We double the tzadi using that, invoking that language, invoking that idea, which is expressed here in Chazal. Okay, so that's Perek Chavav on Kokoi Pokadati. There's a lot of interesting Torah. I'll tell you, David Cohen, whose Torah is brilliant, and I love. He has a whole series of essays on Menatzbach, on these five letters, filled with fascinating things. But to me, it's Hashem, maybe someday. Okay.
Is it remembrance with a...